This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So what is going on with your...
Sedano, I think, is there. George,
Sedano?
Is there?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, man. I saw. So you must have just got back. I saw you in Boston when you had Celtics-Bucks. Was that, George, a matter of Milwaukee playing really good or Boston playing bad?
Milwaukee's game plan to a T, basically, which is they want to protect the paint at all
costs. Yeah, they build a wall.
And they will force you into specific three-point attempts, which is they like you to shoot the lowest percentage three-point attempts, which are the above-the-break three-pointers. They try to defend the corners, so they do that. But and Boston took, what was it?
50.
Almost 53s.
Yeah. 53s. So. All right, does anyone agree with the decision to eject Draymond Green yesterday?
No.
Did you see it, Cap?
I did, of course.
Do you think that the NBA came out today and defended it? I thought it was horrific. Well, I would never really throw a guy out of a playoff game for that.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question. Would you throw him out of a regular season game?
No.
No.
But,
no,
Cap,
not
I'm,
for that.
I'm weird. If I was a ref, I've said it many times, you'd have to put your hands on me to even get a technical foul. Mm. I don't understand why the NBA takes players off the court unnecessarily.
Well, they never should. I mean, it's like imagine getting to a Dodger game, and your goal is, hey, I'm here because I really want to see Freddie Freeman. I can't wait to see Freddie Freeman. And on the first pitch of the second inning, they decide Freddie Freeman argues balls and strikes, and they kick him out of the game. It's like,
don't get it.
Hold on. I didn't come here to see you, umpire. I came here to see Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts or whoever.
And, George, I know the refs have a hard job. I'm sure you do something similar. One of the first things I used to do when I was working sideline is I'd go introduce myself to the refs.
Yeah, and I'd dap them all up before the game.
And I'd
tell them, have a good game.
Yeah, I got to know some of them. And I know Monty McCutcheon really well, the supervisor of officials who, in a weird quirk, like was roommates with one of my college fraternity brothers. And Monty's a great guy. I don't understand the quick whistles. I don't understand the technicals. Like Draymond now.
So John, I have a theory on this. I won't tell you which longtime NBA coach told me this.
Okay.
But he told me this. I had this conversation with him back in November. Okay. And this coach told me the biggest difference is over the last, I think it's 5 years, he said. Maybe it was a little less. Maybe it was 3 years. But he said basically over the last couple of years that the league has lost 15 crew chiefs to retirement in the last 15 years. So they've had to plug in a lot of young officials, and that has been some of the issues with some of the
They don't want
whistles, things like that.
They don't want to take. They don't want the young officials to be taken advantage of. So if the ref tells them to, or the coach tells them to F off, the official tees it off. Michael told me that in his career, they would MF the refs, and the refs would MF them right back. And just say, shut up and play, you big baby.
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
And I wish they would do more of that, because it just doesn't make sense.
All right, so, John, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there is a picture floating around on social media.
I don't feel good about what you're about to say here, Mace.
Oh, Kaplan.
Kaplan, naked in a bathtub.
Okay.
Have you seen this picture?
He's trying to be you, Mace, in the Lazy River.
Is it? I was going to say, is it similar to you in the Lazy River?
No, it's worse. Okay. It's worse than me in the Lazy River. It's way worse.
Well, Cap, this is basically an audition for Playgirl.
You're not even underwater. You're just sitting. What?
Yeah,
what?
This is just weird. You're in a bathtub with no water
and
with
no
your
clothes.
Legs crossed.
And no clothes.
Mason at least had a waterfall.
Yeah,
over.
I had a waterfall.
Well, the thing is that the water, you know, we kind of stopped it early because I was like, oh, it's going to take forever to fill this whole bathtub up. So there's just a little bit of water down below where stuff is getting cleaned.
Cap, why put that particular photo
out? Wait a minute, was this at the Rams' house?
Whose house?
Yeah.
You did this at the Rams' draft house?
I mean, he set you up, Mace. Whose house, he said?
Yeah.
Rams' house.
Did you
it at the Rams' house?
Do you have shorts on in this,
Cap? What do you think?
I think you do.
No, I think
if it's at the Rams' house, you do.
I think no. I don't know why you would put that out. Some of the things you put out there, it falls into the category of TMI, Cap.
Well, let me say something. Number one, I did not put it out.
Okay. Oh, who put it out?
Well, I don't want to say any names, but it was somebody.
Obviously.
Somebody, not you.
It just wasn't me, okay? And it wasn't my idea. That was somebody else's idea. And I'm just a dumbass that just does everything I'm told. Like, hey.
Somebody told you to strip down and get in the bathtub at the Rams' house? Who is calling the shots here?
I don't know if it was Coach McVay or I'm not sure who
told me. It certainly wasn't Coach McVay.
I don't know who told me to do it.
Yeah.
No, not really.
By the way, we haven't brought this up today, but did you see Buffalo drafted the punt god cap?
I did see that.
Third punter off the board.
Yeah, but
third punter
off the board. But he's the only one of the three that can kick it 80 yards.
But again, I read some scouting reports that he's not disciplined and doesn't nail the coffin corner.
I'm with Kaplan. I'm pro punt god.
Third punter off the board.
You read a scouting report. Scott Kaplan's actually seen the kid play.
I know, but I read a scouting report. The Minnesota Vikings said they weren't going to draft him because he doesn't have the discipline to hit the coffin corner inside the 10.
Yeah, how many Super Bowls has
Minnesota won? Why was he the third punter off the board if he was the best punter? Why was he the third?
Why was
punter?
Tom Brady drafted in the sixth the round if he was the? Why was Tom Brady drafted in the sixth round if he's the greatest quarterback of all time? Huh?
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
By the way, like George, I heard you last week. You guys were talking about the NBA, and you said you can't outsmart the league.
Correct.
I disagree with that. I think the league gets outsmarted all the time. And you know you can outsmart the league. Trade your picks, like Les Snead does.
Well, like a third of the league did. A third of
really?
The league.
How's that working for the Lakers right now?
Well, how's it working for the Rams?
You can't compare it sport to sport.
But that's why I said you can't outsmart the league in the NBA.
Well, wait.
You
a gotta minute.
Have in the NBA. You have to have, in my opinion, generally speaking, more times than not, you have to have at least one player on your roster, even if he's a max player that you drafted, that you can go over the cap for, and things like that. You have to have, you have to be able to win in the margins. Like, you got to be able to do stuff like that. And the Lakers, for a while, were doing that, and then, you know, you knew you had to pay the bill at some point, and here's the bill.
Right. Well, the Lakers case, I think they just is, and you know this, George, because you were in Miami. When you have LeBron, you just go all in.
Right. See,
I mean, you look at LeBron's rosters in Miami. It was
right.
Full
but
of
the,
old
the
veterans.
Difference
isn't
difference,
the idea that LeBron is still he may not be the cheat code that he used to be, but he's kind of a cheat code.
I mean, I don't think. I mean, he clearly is. It seems I don't think it's unfair to say that he needs more help than he ever has in his career right now at 37 years old for sure.
Or just AD to show up. You know, I mean, when LeBron and AD
were together.
Well,
that's help. I would consider that help. Yeah, right. For sure. I mean, look, Cleveland was a complete, you know, it was a lottery team every year that he was gone. Miami had the unfortunate situation with Chris Bosh and the blood clots. But they made at least the playoffs a couple of times and had a couple of decent runs. But, like, I mean, he was a cheat code. I don't know if... I don't think there's anyone in the world, Mace, that you could ask at 37 years old in the NBA, okay, to be able to carry a franchise through 82 games and then the playoffs and win a championship.
And yet that's the position we're in.
Right. Well, we may not have ever asked anybody before this, right, but we're asking LeBron to do that. In fact, not even asking, expecting.
But just because he always has. You know, I mean, if you look at his statistics from last season, nobody's ever put up numbers like that at that age.
Right, but the problem is he needed to, it was out of necessity. Like, right, I did that Warriors game where he went for 56, and they needed pretty much 50 out of those 56.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
So it worked out. Do you guys think, I thought that Doc Rivers, and if you didn't hear, we can play it for you. Doc was asked, why was Joel Embiid in the game?
That was a bad idea.
29 with 4 minutes to go. Here's what Doc said.
And the other team had all their guys in, too. The last 5 minutes of the game, we made the run the last minute of that game, right before that. That's when we got a 29. After Joel made the shot and did the airplane, if you watch the game, I turned and said, I'm calling a timeout on the next possession. So not upset that he was in. You can make that a big deal if you want. But just go and look at every team and every game and their guys are in until about the 4 3-minute mark. That's what it is.
And great. And George, I would argue you and I do look at every team and every game. And no, most coaches don't leave their players in up 29 with 4 minutes to go. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you?
Yeah. Listen, man.
And I like Doc. I just think he made a mistake.
Let me tell you something.
Sound real defensive lately.
With the 3-point shot, I think when you have 4.5 minutes to go and you're up 20 or 4:10 in that case, right? And you have up 20. There's no chance of a comeback. I would say that even at the 5:30 mark, okay, that when they were up 25, there's not much of a chance of a comeback. I mean, you can go back even further in that game. Basically, at the second to last timeout, because for people that don't know, in the fourth quarter, they take a timeout at the 6 minute mark, at the 9 minute mark, around there, roughly around the 9 minute mark, roughly around the 6 minute mark, roughly around the 3 minute mark. And even under six, like, they're up 115 to 87.
Right.
At that
Get them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on.
And I was very surprised that you defended it. And I think that it's going to be interesting if Miami beats them up in this series, how that thing in Philadelphia goes. I think that Doc could get replaced.
It's hard to fire Doc when Embiid's hurt, even if you
were the reason he was out there.
Yeah, I still think it's still hard to fire him because Embiid is hurt.
All right, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, KRDC Pasadena, Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brands radio station. And earlier today, Ireland pointed out that what year did the Seinfeld episode come out with the Friends with Benefits?
Yeah, 1991 on this date, Sedano. You like that kind of thing. On May 2nd,
take it away, Sedano.
1991. And so we were talking about this earlier. It needs a little bit of setup. The episode starts. It's called The Deal. And the episode starts where Jerry and Elaine are hanging out together like they always do. And one thing leads to another, and they sleep together. Mm-hmm. And they decide to make a deal. And the morning after, the day after they slept together, George meets Jerry at the diner, and this happens.
So, what are you feeling? What's going on? Are you like a couple again now?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. What does that mean?
Well, we've tried to arrange a situation where we'll be able to do this once in a while and still be friends.
It can't be done. Thousands of years, people have been trying to have their cake and eat it too. So all of a sudden, the two of you are going to come along and do it. Where do you get the ego? No one can do it. It can't be done.
I think we've worked out a system.
Oh. All right, Cap, is there a system? Does Friends with Benefits ever work?
It does. It does work.
How so? I would argue
Explain.
That every, like, I'm not friends with anyone I've slept with previously.
But you're, no, but that's different. You can't do it that way. That's a totally different conversation. You're not friends with exes. That makes sense.
No, but I'm talking about Jerry and Elaine have stayed friends the way they were on the show if they continue to sleep together.
Neither got married.
Yeah, Cap,
right?
What do you think?
Yeah, my answer is yes, it can happen. This is based on my own research that I've done.
Laura Romo is nodding yes. It's possible.
It's totally possible.
Here's the thing. The guy and the girl, in this particular instance, have to know that when we get together to just be the benefit part of our friendship,
yes.
Right?
When they hook up, separated, and when we're apart, we're free to do whatever we want with whoever we want. This is just a once-in-a-while get-together, just make each other feel good kind of deal.
Sedano, I agree with Costanza. I don't think it can work. What do you think?
No, it could work. I mean, just two people who are friends just for booty calls?
That goes on all the time.
But then continue the friendship. Don't ruin the friendship over it.
Right. Yeah, I think you can.
I think you did that exact thing. The older you get, I think absolutely. Like, I think young people have a problem with that kind of connection.
As long as you don't get the feels, which some people do. You know, neither one of you can get the feels or it screws the whole thing up.
Well, that's what literally happened in that movie, Friends with Benefits.
Right, somebody got the feels.
Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake were friends with benefits, and then one of them got the feels.
She apparently, if I recall correctly in the movie,
There needs to be an upfront explanation. We're together, but we're not together.
Right,
and then he did the flash mob for her at Grand Central Station.
That's right.
Very difficult to pull off.
And Cap will never know what the hell we're talking. We should be talking another language right now to him.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, even though I've not seen any of what you're talking about. Nonetheless, the bottom line is this can all work if and only if both parties can maintain an emotionless state.
In other words, don't get the feels.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
Of course it is.
You
never had sex just for sex? Of course.
Yeah, but I'm not friends with those people anymore.
Wait, do you intentionally cut them out of your lives? Like, for example.
No, it just happens. Like,
if you walk into a place,
my wife, if I start texting one of the girls I used to be friends.
Pre your
wife.
Yeah, but
go before your wife.
I think the question that Jerry Seinfeld was posing was, can we remain friends and still occasionally have sex?
Well, not when you're married. That's not cool. But no. but when you're single.
Well, that's one of the several ways it can break up.
When you're single, you can totally pull it off.
Hey, so let me ask you guys this before we get out of here.
Where are you going?
Well, we're leaving.
Why?
You're taking over the show.
Oh.
But Mason and I have always said, we're not really hockey fans, but we're Kings fans. We like the Kings when they get into the playoffs.
You're bandwagon fans.
Correct.
Right.
Tonight, the Kings open the playoffs in Edmonton. Edmonton's got the best young team in the league. They have the biggest star in the league. Connor McGregor.
Well, I don't
Connor
know.
McGregor,
Connor
McGregor?
No, not Connor. No, Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. Why did I say Connor McGregor? Who's Connor McGregor? He's the fighter.
Connor McGregor would be crazy to watch.
Connor McGregor played
NHL.
For Edmonton.
Now,
I'd
if
watch.
He played, I'd watch.
I mean, he'd literally slit dudes' throats if he kicked them with those skates.
Connor McDavid. And so I may watch some of this. Am I the only one that's going to keep one eye on the Kings tonight?
I like playoff hockey. I'm a big fan of playoff hockey. I think that it's definitely fun to watch, but I'm more focused on the NBA.
Yes.
And I would also argue that Austin Matthews is the bigger, younger star.
Well, weird thing about him is he's American.
Yes, he is. He's from Phoenix.
First American to score 50 goals in a season, right?
And he's half Mexican.
Yeah, which is just incredibly rare. So I think
his mom was born in Mexico.
And the answer is because the Dodgers aren't playing tonight. Right. Sure, I'll check in.
Yeah, because the Dodgers and the Giants won't start until tomorrow, and you're jonesing out for something that's a little local. If the 76ers and the Heat or the Mavericks and Suns aren't doing it for you, yeah, maybe. I mean, is the game on ESPN?
Yeah, it's on ESPN 2 at 7.
Oh,
yeah, I'll definitely tune in. I'll tell you why. You only got so much headspace, you know. Like,
John, would you agree with me that the NHL when ESPN being on ESPN will pay off for them?
Yeah, all the games are 100%. On either ESPN or ESPN 2 tonight.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and they'll get a couple ABC games on the weekends. Like, this is when that deal, the new NHL deal, will pay off for them because there'll be more top of mind.
Right, and the old deal, I couldn't even know they were on the NBC Sports Network, and you couldn't find them. And but tonight, Kings on ESPN 2 at 7:00.
I think they used to even have games on CNBC sometimes.
Did they
night.
CNBC?
Well,
wow,
it
really?
Was it was all the NBC controlled property.
Yeah, USA Network. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right, what do you guys got coming up on the show?
Yeah, George, what do we have coming
up on the
show?
Bunch of stupid stuff, I hope.
Yeah, yeah, Mace's got it. It's always a bunch of stupid stuff. I would say that there are a couple of things specifically that I want to get into. I think that there's stuff from the Rams draft that I think was pretty awesome.
We had Les Snead on earlier today. Did you hear what he said?
No. Yeah, he said you're wrong, yeah.
Mason is wrong.
There you go.
Wow. Yes. That you finally got what you wanted. You got a
that's
third.
That's what I was like. Yeah. We actually teed the entire thing up in order to get that response.
By the way, we have a reaction to the Kaplan picture.
Oh, okay. God.
From someone somewhat famous.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. Mm-hmm. has weighed in.
You say somewhat famous?
Yeah.
Very famous. Very famous.
Shea's
about to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. He's responded, Cap, with four words. Mm. There's no effing water. He believes you are being a poser, that there is no water
in
the tub.
That is true, there is no water.
And that is his official reaction to your Rams House bathtub cry. It looks like a Playgirl shot, doesn't it, Mace? He's like, he's auditioning. It would be a portfolio shot for him to get into Playgirl. Does Playgirl still exist?
I don't think so.
Don't think so.
I
think it's called Pornhub.
Not you, Pornhub.
Is there there can't be a Playgirl magazine anymore. There can't
let's
be
a, take a look.
Is Hold there on, a Playboy Playgirl. Magazine still?
There is a website. I don't think there's an actual glossy magazine anymore.
Playgirl magazine was defunct 2016, winter of 2016.
Hey, Cap, really? Met Gala tonight in New York. Are you jealous that you're not there?
Not really. Nah.
What is
really.
The Met Gala? Why is that such a big deal? I don't understand it. Nah. They go to the Met, they go to a museum, and they get all dressed
Everybody
up.
Everybody dresses up.
It?
Russell Westbrook normally goes to it. A lot of other famous people go to it.
Well, do you think he'll post stuff on his Instagram since he took all the Lakers stuff down?
He's got a lot of room. Yeah. You know, I don't know, the Lakers stuff. Didn't he take down all the
On June 28th, when you guys, you know, if you're not here, you should do that. Like, you should, but ahead of time, if the negotiations.
Well, contract's up June 30th, so.
Oh, sorry, June 30th. If the negotiations go south, I think June 28th, you just remove all references of ESPN.
Why don't we do it, like, next week?
Yeah.
Remove just on purpose.
I could never remove all references to ESPN.
Well,
that's
then if you
all
get
I got.
Yeah, but if you get a new contract, you put them all back.
Oh, then you,
like,
then
Kyler
you
Murray.
Install them. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. I think, Mace, that would be a great troll for you.
It would. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone in management never know. Would freak out.
Because you never know. You never know. All right, guys, take it away. We're back tomorrow at 1, and our goal is to do better.
I mean, you couldn't run away fast enough.
We're going to do – yeah, it's true.
I know, you guys are dumb with us.
I got to get home and watch hockey. Come
must
on.
Must be the bathtub picture.
There it is.
It's enough to scare
There's
anybody.
There's no effing water.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Sonato and Cap next, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah!
Fisticuffs is a very old-timey reference. I was surprised you didn't ask us if we were going to duel afterwards.
10 paces. Turn. Fire.
Yeah. Bergman, how'd you get roped into this?
I got asked, and I said, sure.
Oh, because I thought, I figured we'd have Funchy or someone in here. This show was beneath you at this stage.
Oh, there's never beneath me, but Funchy was here already all day long. So
what was Funchy up to?
He helps every day now. He helps with Travis and Sliwa and Mason in Ireland. So he was already
busy. Changed the group text, Chad. I changed it to the Funchy Bunch when he was the producer for the
Which is a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, very funny, George, that you asked that question, because earlier today when Bergman told me he was pulling double duty, my first response was, where's Funchess?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
I took it a little personal there, Scott.
That both of us immediately asked that question?
We're like, where's Munchie? We like him.
Yeah.
He did say, I mean, asked because I wonder
like
why.
You.
No, we
I
love
mean,
Bergman. We love
depends
Bergman.
On the day. Really depends on the day. No, it's Mason Island, too. They're the same way.
No, listen to me. Nothing but love, okay? Nothing but love for you, Greg Bergman. But, it's just that I figured, well, you just got off this shift with Mason in Ireland. And, since Lindsay needed the day, I figured Funchy would be filling in, and there's no Funchy.
Most of the time it will be Funchy. But, you guys need to start having some fun again now that you had the crosstalk that was all about sports.
Wow.
Whoa. There's some shots fired right there.
Wow.
I mean, geez. The crosstalk should have been about you having to do both shows, to be honest with you, in retrospect.
I mean, it could have been, but, I like the whole thing about the friends with benefits conversation. That was a fun conversation.
I heard you guys having that conversation, but I feel like John keeps twisting that into a different direction about married people doing that. Like,
no,
that's,
that can happen. That can 100% happen. I had a very good friend of mine, and she was just a friend with benefits. And when I say just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved this relationship that she and I had together.
Right.
But that's really what it was. It would be like we'd get together, we'd hang out, we'd do our thing, then we wouldn't see each other for a while. Then all of a sudden there'd be a concert that would come to town and be like, hey, let's go to this concert. Great. Me, my friend, and a night of Bob Seger. And then, that would turn into, a little bit of fun. And then me, my friend, and a night with, like, Michael McDonald. And it turned, because she was like an old school kind of rocker girl.
Michael McDonald.
Right. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. You know that one?
Yeah.
Taking it to the streets. Yeah.
That's a pretty good Michael McDonald. That's pretty impressive.
That's all right.
Almost as good as my Mad Dog Russo.
Your Mad Dog Russo is solid.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite things you do, Sedano.
Yeah. Come on, Sedano, do it. Do it. Do it for us, Sedano.
What was the other one? Casey Kasem. Oh, hey there, Scott. How are you?
I do like your Mad Dog Russo, though.
Maybe now, feel like that one is only for like people who know sports radio, though.
Right. Well, not just sports radio. Now, thankfully, because Stephen A's got him on First Take, people might see him on TV a lot,
You used to do both sides. You used to do
Russo. Oh, I used to do Francesa, too. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a win.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Are you really naked in the tub or not?
What do you think?
Absolutely not.
Bergie?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but no, I don't think you're naked.
Laura?
Nah, man, you're posing for the picture.
Yeah, you're right. You guys are all right. I mean, I could keep the illusion going for everybody, but the fact of the matter is we were running around the Rams draft house and we were taking pictures and shooting videos from lots of different places, and I got into the bathtub because it was supposed to be kind of a funny thing, and then when I got into the bathtub, I realized I'm wearing my shirt, but you can see my knee. So if I take my shirt off, I might actually make people believe that, you know, I jumped into the bathtub. But as O'Shea Jackson has pointed out, there doesn't seem to be any water in the bathtub. Now, perhaps if we were to redo this picture, we would think to ourselves certain angles so that we could, you know, confuse people into going, is he really in there? Is there water in there? But, I mean, you can pretty much see there's no water in there. But there I am, shirtless.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dude, it's all good. Like, I think you pulled it off really well.
You did?
It's a fun picture, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I think it looks good. I think it looks better than Mason's Lazy River picture.
I'm very self-conscious, though, George. I'm thinking that there's a lot of manscaping that needs to be done to, like, my armpits, my chest.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of lettuce on the chest. Yeah,
lot. Sure. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't feel good about that.
I mean, doesn't Rachel do, like, the 40-year-old virgin thing with you and just, you know, rips it off and you can scream Kelly Clarkson, you know?
The answer is yes, but the difference is it's on my back, not on my front.
Mm.
Feel me?
I'm not a back hair person. I don't know, so I don't ever really have back hair.
Well, I don't feel like I have an enormous amount of back hair, but
Berkman is a hairy face guy. Like, where is there? You're like a hair. I would imagine you're a hairy chest guy, and I don't feel like back though.
No, I mean, it's a little bit on the back. It's actually, I have a decent amount on my chest, but it's not crazy. It's not like out of control on my chest. But I do got some taco meat.
Laura,
some what?
Laura,
what is happening?
Laura,
it's called taco meat.
Chest hair.
Do you like chest hair as a woman, or do you like the guys who keep it smooth?
I prefer smooth. That's just me. Clean, just me. But there's one guy that has the chest hair that I'm like, oh, I'm not mad at it there.
Really? Is it because of the picture? Is it because of the picture in the bathtub?
Why would it be you?
Well, you said there's one guy and you didn't like give a name, and then you're like looking at me. You're like looking at me in the bathtub, and you're seeing
I'm so not looking at you at all.
Really?
No.
You're seeing all the turkey meat. Is that what you called it, Bergie?
Taco meat.
Taco meat, not turkey meat.
Yeah. I mean, it could be turkey taco meat, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Dios mio. No. No. But yeah, well, only one guy.
I don't feel like there's a lot of back hair going on, George, but like, have you ever met anybody or seen anybody like they're wearing just like a regular golf shirt and you can see how much chest hair they've got coming out of the top? But if you look in the back of their neck, they've got a legit full sweater. They're like a werewolf, you know, and they've just got so much hair, like a full blown sweater coming out of their back. Now, I don't have anything like that. It's not that bad, but, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, if you're going to go on a trip and you're going to take your shirt off, you know, you might want to get the back waxed. That's all. So that's what I do.
All right. I mean, do you do that the same time you do your nose hairs?
No, nose hairs and ears are a completely different deal. That's being done tomorrow, by the way. I got a full maintenance day tomorrow, you know?
Wait.
What?
What is a full maintenance day? Like, well, take us through that real quick.
Okay, well, I'm going to get my hair cut.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it colored.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my nostrils waxed. I'm going to get my ears waxed, and this time I'm leaving the widow's peak. You know, I told you about having my widow's peak waxed, right?
Yeah, you did a terrible job removing it. Yeah,
she went about 3 centimeters too deep, and I started to look like Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel, if anybody could get that reference. If not, just suffice it to say I had a 5 head rather than a 4 head. So I'm growing back in the widow's peak. But a full maintenance day of cut, color, nostril wax, ear wax. You know, it's tough being hot these days, George. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know, right?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I know.
I love your confidence, bro. Like, it, honestly, it is to me the most charming part of you.
Well, thank you. Muchos caliente, Laura.
I mean, there are times it makes me feel it's cringeworthy, but I still love it no matter what.
Yeah, I understand the cringiness. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is anybody that's seeing me in this picture in the Rams draft house in a bathtub, it's probably a major turnoff to you. I got it, okay? I mean, to see a 50-year-old guy with his shirt off, his chest hair, and he's not feeling particularly good about himself, so why did he have his shirt off in the first place? I mean, it's cringy. I got it. But it's also kind of funny in a weird way, I think. Like, what's he doing? Like, he was a guest at the Rams draft house. He's doing shirtless pictures in the bathtub? What's he doing, this kid?
I mean, yeah, it's just, it's you.
That's just me being me. Yeah.
Yeah. Just it's Cappy being Cappy.
That's
like
it.
Manny being Manny
right.
back in the day.
Just being, just having fun with it. That's all. Just at the Rams draft house, enjoying the draft. By the way, George, I looked this up on Zillow because I just couldn't help myself. I had to.
Okay. Go ahead. You looked up the price of the house.
Uh-huh.
We were told that it's rented for $9,500 a day.
Right.
So if I had to guess the price of that house, I would guess in the $6 million range.
$6
million. Yeah.
$6 million.
Is that what it is?
No. Keep going.
10.
You're not even close.
Really? More than that? How big is the house, though? The square footage is important.
I don't remember the exact, you know, I should pull up the Zillow listing on it right now. You ready for this? You want to know the price of the house? Anybody else want to take a guess?
$13 million.
Nope, you're not even close.
27.
All right, Laura says 25. 27. Bergie says 27. You're both still way under.
150.
Nope.
Damn.
Nope.
Is that over or under?
That's way over.
So 72.
Wait.
Nope.
Now you're way over.
Now you're way over.
Okay.
All right.
51.
Just nope.
Let's let him.
Okay.
Let's
all right. Here we go. You ready? $42 million.
Wow.
$42 million.
That's crazy.
Is the house that the Rams rented. And by the way, what a brilliant move by the Rams. Not only could they host their draft parties there, they have been hosting, you know, sponsors and business partners and people that they're recruiting to be either or both. I mean, it is such a smart move. You talk about let's embody who we are. Well, we're the Super Bowl champions in the greatest stadium on the planet in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Let's embrace that. And they just did a brilliant job.
Oh, because there's a guy who I know. I know him a little bit. I don't know him, like, super well. He works, like, for CBS Sports Radio, Damon Amendolara.
Yeah.
He's one of these, like, you know, he's a national talking head. He's got a morning show on CBS Sports Radio. He's got a pretty decent platform. It's not like, you know, we're not sitting here talking about this is like some guy in Pacoima, right? Like, he's got a national platform on a morning show. And on a huge network, right, on CBS Sports. Lord, do you have that sound? Because he went all in on just crushing the Rams. Like, and this is what happens when people who haven't lived here discuss these type of things. So go ahead, play the sound real quick.
When I see the people with their faces pulled back and their lips collagenized, and their hair all over the place, and the $6,000 bag, or this trendy hat, and their courtside of these games, I'm like, ugh, I want to vom. And the Rams are playing into that. They didn't have a pick last night. They don't need a house. You don't need a house to make a pick. You don't. You can sit in a war room with upholstered seats and no windows like every team has ever done since the dawn of time. The 74 Steelers draft 4 Hall of Famers. 4. You think they needed an Airbnb to do it? You think Chuck Knoll needed a 7-bedroom mansion to draft Jack Lambert and Lynn Swann? No. But the Rams do because they need to drop their Hollywood junk on the table and show off. And I'm not here for it.
Hmm.
I mean, honestly, if you were working at, like, not here, I feel like that would be like a rant you would make.
Me?
Yes.
It's very funny you say that because the next words out of my mouth were, George, if you were not in L.A., that would be your exact rant. In fact, I thought you wrote that for him. No.
You thought
listen to me.
I wrote it?
Yeah. Well, listen, let me tell you something. That is the most un-L.A. rant there could ever be. That is the most jealous Kansas City kind of rant there ever could be. That is like, I'm so jealous that you guys won the Super Bowl, that you've got this crazy stadium, that you're smart enough to do what you do by renting this draft house. Because you see, what people don't realize is it's not just for the draft. There's so much more to it. There's so much more business that can get done there. And renting that house and putting on parties there is the most brilliant thing you could do. Damon, Alama, whatever.
I'm in the Lara.
Him. Pulled back face, the fish lips. You ain't here for it, huh, Damon? You should come to the Rams draft house. Get in the bathtub. You'll see how there you are then.
Yeah,
Damon. Yeah, Damon. D.A.
Yeah.
I mean, George, what did you think? Seriously, like you're up there, Yeah. And you're seeing a $10,000 a night house that they've rented for a month. Are you like offended by it, or didn't you think to yourself, God, this is super smart?
Yeah. It is. It's smart. By the way, didn't the Cardinals do that a couple years ago, or was that Cliff Kingsbury's actual house?
I think that was his house.
Yeah. Which is a mansion, by the way.
Yeah, and listen, the Rams, this isn't like they came up with this year. They've been doing this for a few years.
Yeah, this is the second time, actually, they've done it.
Yeah, so they did it in Malibute before this.
Oh, my God. Why do you call it that?
Oh, have you ever seen the movie Malibu's Most Wanted?
Yes.
Jamie Kennedy?
Yes.
Malibute. From the Malibute.
Very familiar with it.
Actually. Okay. Anyway, I like that. I like to call Malibu Malibute.
But Bergman, don't you feel like if Kaplan was working somewhere else, that would be the rant he would make?
It sounds exactly like a Cap rant. Absolutely. I'm with
you
on this.
Jeez, you just got talked so into this.
No. This is
unbelievable.
I was thinking.
It's unbelievable.
Truth.
Rather than going, no, Sedano, it kind of sounds more like a rant you would have. You right away jumped on top of me.
Laura and I both looked at each other. She's like, oh, that's a good point.
We absolutely.
Because you had the same thing.
Of course you said.
See, this is why you shouldn't have said nothing.
See?
All right, go bomb. That's what I got.
Go bomb.
Who uses that? I mean, listen, Damon, I love you, pal, but go bomb?
I'm going vomiting.
Who's shortening vomit? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, wait, that sounds like something that they would say in Mean Girls, the movie.
Go vom.
Stop trying to make vom happen.
Jealous.
But that's what it is. It's jealousy. You know, they're the Rams. They moved from little St. Louis, and they moved to the big city. And now they're not even acting like the St. Louis Rams anymore. They have the audacity to act like the Super Bowl champions of Hollywood. How dare they?
Yeah, I feel like that, again, that's just like you're supposed to play it up that way. You're the champs. Do what you want. And by the way, comparing anything to 1974 is just hilarious to me.
I'm going to go vom right now.
All right, go vom. We'll be back in a minute. Coming up next, is Russell Westbrook actually staying? There's people making the case for it. We'll tell you who next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Did you see Chris's post this weekend, George?
I did. We talked about it on our daily call.
It's really nice to see Chris in a relationship now. And
he's not in a relationship.
What do you mean he's not in a relationship? That's a relationship.
Although he is, I think he's borrowing her car, though.
That's a relationship. When you post a picture or a video of you and a lady friend all Saturday nighted out, having a good time, big smile on your face.
They were at a birthday party.
Yeah, well, all I can tell you is that is his girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
Laura, what say you? I feel like you're the determining factor here.
Why am I the determining factor?
Because you're the woman of the panel here, so I feel like you will have a better approach to this. And you have a lot of friends.
What? See, this is becoming a thing. I don't have friends, but...
Friends?
Apparently we can't have friends, according to John Ireland, but that's a whole other story.
I'm just saying, you can have friends.
I mean, I'm single. Of course I can have friends.
And
but...
ready to mingle.
Sure.
No, you're not ready to mingle? You're no longer mingling?
But yeah, I mean, Chris, sorry, you do have a girl, man. You're posting her all
over
IG, and I love you and all, but
wow.
That's why I did the emojis, you know?
Yeah, you post pictures of you and your lady all smiley and happy. Like, and I don't remember exactly what the post said, but it said something like, hey, this is what happens when you're at a South OC party and my boy Kaplan's favorite song comes on. And in the background, you could hear some Bee Gees staying alive. And it's him and his girlfriend there. That's when you are in a relationship, when you post pictures of you and your friend.
But I have a girlfriend. Question. Well, here's my thing. So because Chris is a, you know, Chris is a friendly guy. He has friends, too. My thing is, like, is she, because I think if you post someone a lot, that, you know, it's saying something, right? But is he doing it to get someone else mad? Because you never know. You know, maybe he trolls someone
else. That's an
excellent
point. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you have experience with that.
No, no, I do not. No. See, how does it all come back to me?
Didn't it sound like she had experience with that?
Sounds like it's something that she does on a regular basis is what it sounds like. I think that when you post things on social media, I think that there is a little bit of like, oh, I want this person to see it so they can say something. Amanda's shaking her head,
but,
yes.
But what I'm saying is like, because I post pictures, right? Like, I don't have an issue. Like, I worked really hard to feel good about myself. So I post pictures for me. But I'm saying if you're posting pictures with like a guy, like if I would be posting pictures with a bunch of random dudes, then I say something, or one specific dude, but I don't. I post things by myself, so it's different.
Yeah, but listen, don't you think it's dangerous when you're a single guy and you're out there and you're dating and, you know, you're available, that when you post pictures of you and a particular lady, by the way, this is now multiple pictures because you can go into Chris's Instagram history, into his Twitter history, and there's this lady shows up.
You are
several
such
times.
A stalker. You really are.
Perhaps.
It's amazing that Bergman, do you hear this? Like, do you know how much of a stalker he is on Instagram?
I mean, this is what it sounded like. I've heard the show all the time where Chris always comes in and says that you're stalking all of everyone's pictures and liking them and posting things on them.
I mean, listen, I'll give you an example. This past weekend, George was doing a game. He had this Boston-Milwaukee game, right?
Yes.
And there was a picture of George and Mark Jones and Doris Burke, right?
Right. Yeah.
And has everybody here seen that picture?
Did you tag every one of them in your response?
I did not, but Bergie, did you see the picture?
I did see the picture, yeah.
Okay, Laura, did you see the picture?
I did.
Okay, so if all of us saw the picture, who's the stalker?
Everyone?
Okay, no. The difference is this.
I post a picture, and yeah, people are going to see it. It's at a game or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you're the guy literally, like, talking to us about when Laura's going live on Instagram. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, listen, she should be thankful that I am.
I am thankful.
She never said anything. But it is weird, though, that you literally know, like, the second she's on, you're like, hey, I'm here.
Well, but George, I set an alarm on my phone, 9 p.m. Wednesday night, late night with Laura on Instagram.
Late night with Laura, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I set an alarm, and then all of a sudden my phone starts beeping, beep, beep, beep. It's 9 o'clock at night on Wednesday. I'm like, what's my phone doing? Beeping. Oh, it's my favorite show. It's Late Night with Laura on Instagram. So that's how I know.
Laura either.
But I bet you if we posed it to the audience, they would, who listen to the show as closely as we do, they would too feel that you very much are on the Instagram a lot.
So I'm curious though, George, have you ever been on Late Night with Laura?
I have not, actually. I've not been on.
Has Lindsay ever been on Late Night with Laura?
Well, no one's invited. It is just me.
It's a party and everyone's invited.
Cat pops up all the time on his own.
I'm not really invited.
He invites himself.
Right. Yeah, I just impose. I ring a doorbell. I'm like, can I get in?
Has Morales ever been on Late Night with Laura?
Mm-mm.
So it's just Cap.
Cap just, he always knows when she's on. So, like, because you know why? Because he's always on Instagram.
You do good have app. To be on Instagram to know when someone is going live. This is true.
It is a good app. I do like it. It's fun. Get caught for hours on it.
That's your TikTok, because people do that with TikTok. I've never really gotten into TikTok like that, but people say they lose a lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm going to get my time back because I'm not going to be putting time into Instagram this week. I got to put my time into Ozark. Has anybody started to watch the second half of the season of Ozark? Is anybody with me on this?
No.
No.
You're out.
No.
Really? Nobody's into Ozark other than me.
I don't watch a lot of Netflix.
I don't watch TV like that. Winning Time, I'm in. But
Winning Time. Ooh.
Yeah, I saw Winning Time last night when I got back from the airport.
Ooh, episode 9 of Winning Time last night. Can I shout out Kareem? Hey, Kareem. I know you wrote a few weeks ago on your Substack column about how bad the show is, how it's not interesting, it's boring, there's no character development. Can I just ask Kareem if he's listening this afternoon, and I know he is.
Right.
Kareem, did you find last night's episode interesting? Do you find the development of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar character, do you find that to be good television? Because I do.
Yeah. By the way, Ramona has just weighed in. She says, Cap, that you're just being supportive by being on Instagram all the time.
That's what I feel like.
Well,
I feel
Laura,
like.
What do you want? Do you want everyone on your Instagram? Like, do you want
Sedano of course she wants people there.
No, no, I'm saying you guys, like people on the show. Like Mason. No,
okay, so people have asked me if I'm going to invite people to Late Night with Laura. And I'm like, eventually. But, like, right now it's just y'all getting to know me. You guys know these guys, like, because they've been on it forever. So
yeah, Laura's got to set her own brand, you know?
Eventually, everybody. I mean, Cap has joined my lives, not the Late Night with Laura, but just, like, my lives randomly. And people love it. Like, people
are. Because he's random,
you know? Yes. Yeah, but in a good
way. Well, I was randomly walking my dog through my neighborhood.
Oh, Jack, so cute.
And then Laura was on, and she sent me an invite, and I jumped in. Mm-hmm. I like the show. I like the music. I like the drinking of the wine. I like all the interaction with the audience. I'm a fan. What
it's
can I tell
fun.
You?
It is fun.
All right. All right. You ready to keep going here, George, or what?
We didn't do the Russell Westbrook thing that I wanted to do. We could do that.
Oh, all right.
I mean,
God, I hope he stays with the Lakers.
Have you seen this thing? That
I have.
This Russell Westbrook, keep Russell Westbrook thing?
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on that train.
So basically what someone is saying is that the Lakers need to play 3D chess. What does that mean exactly? I'll explain next, and I promise this time I will.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Come on, Cappy. This is your song. You're supposed to sing it.
Dude, let me tell you something. If you could see my dance moves right now, right arm up at a 90 degree, left arm coming across at a 90 degree, then now I'm switching. Here, two, three, four. Now switch. Two, three, four. And one, two, three, four. Bring it back. Two,
what?
Three, four. Those are dance moves, Laura. You got to count them off, you know?
Who does
that? You're supposed to do that in your head, not like in real life.
Well, I know, but we're on the radio. So right now I'm kind of just giving everybody a little dance lesson.
IRL.
Right. That's right. IRL.
Did you learn the words for this? Because you were supposed to.
I was?
Yes.
Elvis Crespo. Oh. Elvis.
Remember I was going to play it randomly and then you were supposed to sing with it?
Besame. Te quiero sentir tus labios. Besándome otra vez.
I'm going to need the lyrics for me to properly sing this song.
I mean,
we sent them to you.
It's not really that hard.
I know, but how long ago was that?
2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I bet you Bergman's even danced this song. This is the song that gets played at a lot of white people's parties.
Really?
It's pretty true.
Really? This is the Latino
salsa
song
dancing
for
before.
White people.
This is not salsa.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
It's
and
merengue.
Like Despacito became that song later. But
sorry.
Like, yeah. This
careful,
is more
Bergman.
Merengue, Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. I knew merengue.
Yeah. Look, you actually said it right. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That's
not,
true.
Not salsa. Merengue.
Yeah. Merengue, yeah.
Yeah, Greg over here saying it was salsa. I was like,
merengue.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know that it was different.
Oh, yeah, it different. Is, yeah.
Yeah,
different
the
dances.
Style of
big
dances.
Distinction, yeah.
But like, if you go,
what's the big distinction, Kaplan?
Well, in merengue, the beat is a little different than in salsa. So in
it
merengue,
is, that's true. That is fair.
So in merengue, not, yeah. It's a 1-2-3-4. Whereas in salsa, it's a 1-2-3-4. Do you understand the difference? Did I do that properly for everybody?
No.
You guys didn't get that part of it?
No.
So if you go to like a salsa bar, like you're dancing, this will they play merengue and salsa?
I mean, they could.
Yeah.
They could.
So it's okay.
It's
so as long as you
not
go
like against the rules necessarily.
Yeah. Right.
Unless
so
it's
they
like
go
salsa
together.
Night, you know.
Yeah. Unless it's a strictly salsa.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of dance, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
It's not gringified?
No, it's okay.
Or gringified.
Only when I go.
Kaplan, Bergman can outdance you for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He may be able to. That may be true. 100%. What you're saying may be true. However, hold on a second.
Uh-oh, here we go.
However, hold on.
Overconfidence, Cap.
While Greg Bergman may be able to outdance me, here's a question. Can he also outdance Sedano and... can he also dance circles around Laura?
No.
No.
It's like,
yeah,
no.
No.
How do you guys know?
No. Like to like Spanish music? Are you insane?
What are you talking about? You just told me that he could dance circles around me. Why can't he dance circles
right,
around you two?
That's you.
Well, that's you too.
No. Listen, you remember, well, you've never seen any of these movies. Oh, whenever I make a movie reference, it doesn't hit all that right. But the audience.
Which one? Are you talking about like Fast Times at Ridgemont High? I got that one. That's no problem.
The Dark Knight Rises, where Bane says, "You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it." Like, that's the difference here, Kaplan.
That you were born in the dark.
In essence, yes.
Okay. All right.
I love Kaplan so much. Have you seen, by the way, on Twitter that there's a guy, Granted LA, is posting all of your pictures, Cap, in different... He's photoshopping you into different things. Like,
really?
You're on a couch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're on a gondola.
He's great.
We have a very good.
We have a very, like, our in our community especially, there's a lot of people with really good Photoshop skills.
It's pretty incredible.
Right, Cap? Isn't that fair in the Sedano and Cap community? They do a good job with memes.
A phenomenal job. Now, but there's also a lot of good analysis out there. For example, this guy right here, Real Matz, he says, Kaplan is technically not a social media stalker. He just mentions posts. That's all. A stalker focuses on one particular person, you know? I'm stalking everybody. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not just purely a stalker of one person. I'm a stalker of everybody. Ooh, look at this one.
And I feel like you definitely want Chris to have a girlfriend, because I feel like I think I've nailed it now.
Yeah.
I think it's you want Rachel to have a friend that, like, is related to someone at the station in some way, shape.
Well, really what I want is I want Chris to have a girlfriend so that I can say things like, la, 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 Lisa, Lisa, la, 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 Lisa. You know, that's what I want to do. I want him to have a girlfriend with a name. I want her to treat him like he's the boyfriend, which means she's just dragging him around everywhere and telling him what to do. I want him to experience what it is that I get to have, George. That's what I want for Chris. You think I'm going to get it?
You just want the ribbing is what you want.
Right. I want him to have I don't really care if he has a happy, successful relationship. I just want to be able to go back at him. That's all. By the way, this guy, Grant, phenomenal job here.
Phenomenal.
It's outstanding, as a matter of fact. Where are we?
Ridiculous.
Where are we at here? We're in like Italy somewhere, and there
you're
I am.
On a gondola.
Yes.
Ooh. I mean, we should hire Grant to like work on our social media team. He could be like our version of what the NBA on TNT with the Inside of the NBA group does. You know, where they have like all those guys posting the memes of Barkley and them and all that. Like,
well, we check this Grant one out. This is one from Alan Sliwa's Murphy Bed, who says he went back in there and he put in the water for me. And there were no bubbles for my bath. But now you can see, so that O'Shea Jackson is happy, you can see the amount of water that I'm bathing in at the draft house. Mm. Beto Duran checks in that he's playing golf in Industry Hills without me. And then I'm looking at those very hot
Beto
pink
Duran
shorts.
Beto Duran sent me a funny, funny text a long time ago. Like, probably like almost an hour ago, he said when Mason brought up, Mason was ripping the kid from San Diego State, the punter, the punt god, that John Ireland loves so much. And he says, Mason is anti-American punters. I bet you if he said that, if I would have said that, Mason would have been, what would Mason's reaction been, Greg? He would have been like very like freaked out about that.
A little bit. He's still here.
Anti-
Mason, put your headphones on. Oh, he can't hear us.
Oh, he can't? Oh, he's there still?
Yeah, he's still here.
Oh, then let's bring him on for that. I feel like that needs to be addressed.
Put your headphones on, Mace. There you go. Go ahead. You can talk
Mason,
now.
Mason, we have a question for you.
Oh, yes. Yes, please go ahead.
Beto Duran
claims... I was just sitting
here
waiting for this, yeah.
Beto Duran claims you're anti-Mexican-American punters.
That's stupid.
Tell him, Mace. Tell him, Mace.
That's stupid.
Come on, really?
Honestly? That's what it comes down to?
Come on, really, Beto?
He was the third punter off the board. I don't think his race mattered. Did it?
I mean, you know, maybe that's why.
I'm not anti. By the way, I've never seen the kid, never met the kid, never watched him punt. All I read was a scouting report that said he's not great at pinning teams back inside the 10-yard line.
Right,
I'm sure that's why he's the third punter off the board. It has nothing to do with whether or not he's Mexican-American.
So Cappy kicked for a big-time college
yes,
football
he did.
Program. Okay.
I would take Cappy's advice on this.
Right. So Cappy, you've seen him.
Yeah.
Can the kid kick in the NFL?
I think so. I think so. And let me tell you something. When you are a punter, you are a defensive player.
Yeah.
And you are trying to change field position. And it just so happens that rather than having this kid punt the ball from the 50-yard line and going in to try and pin somebody back. He had all these monster bomb 70 and 80-yard punts because he happened to be punting the ball from his own 5-yard line, and he completely switched the field. I know there's a lot of people breaking down, you know, draft talk with, you know, can he pin him inside? Can he do an end-over-end, you know, Australian rules type of kick? Dude, this guy just blasts the ball. And in Buffalo, where he wound up getting drafted,
you got to blast the ball,
especially with that wind.
And the weather is exactly. Yeah, it's insane.
Right. I'm totally rooting. I mean, I have nothing against kid. Never
no,
seen.
All like
I just read some stuff. I mean, I Beto, you can turn it into that, but I Beto's just got beef with me.
Well, but you know what, Mace? Here's the good news. Beto is out on the golf course right now, and he's listening on the ESPN Space LA app. Which has completely changed my life. I don't know about everybody else. It's totally changed my life.
Revolution. Needs to download that, regardless of what phone you have.
Even my mom and not stepdad Leo have downloaded the ESPN LA app onto their phones.
Wow, look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah, I mean, they've learned how to use apps and everything.
Look at that.
They learned, or you did it for them?
I did it for them, but you know, but now they know how to use it because it's mm-hmm. just literally like one tap.
Oh, I mean, once you hit it, it's on.
It just opens up, exactly.
Yeah.
I was one of those annoying guys this weekend that pretty much everybody
you can
I ran
stop
into.
Stop right there, by the way. I was one of those annoying guys this weekend.
Yeah. Right, not normally, but just yeah. it so happens this weekend I was annoying. And I was saying to everybody I came in contact with, I was like, hey, have you downloaded the new ESPN LA app? Hey, have you downloaded? Like, I was forcing people in front of me to download the app. Like, I don't know if I know. I don't need the app. You know, I like listening in the car. I'm like, no, you need the app. Like, I don't know if I need the app. You need the app.
Yeah. But
break out your phone. Let's go.
You say a lot of stuff that you completely embellish, but Mason, I fully believe that that's what he did this weekend.
I have no question that he walked around somewhere, Ocean Beach or wherever you go. Where's your town down there? Where do you hang out?
I was hanging out this weekend in the Solana Beach area.
Solana Beach, and you're there pestering people, getting them to download the app.
I went to a stand-up comedy show Saturday night. I saw a couple buddies of mine perform.
Yeah.
And people that were there, they were coming up, hey, how you doing, man? I'm like, I'm good. What are you up to right now? They're like, nothing. Why? I'm like, take out your phone. What? What's the deal? I'm like, take out your phone. Let's go. Let's download the ESPN LA app right now. I was literally like I was tough-guying people, you
nice,
know what I mean?
Nice,
like it wasn't like a request. It wasn't like, hey, you know, we've got this really nice, cool app. You should check it out. It was, take out your phone now and let's go.
Wow.
Give me your phone.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Big
I like
time.
That.
Yep.
So I'm off the clock, guys.
I was just going to say, what are you still doing there?
Just diddling around with some work. I mean, nothing really.
I mean, it's 5 o'clock. It's going to take you like 6 hours to get home.
No, it's not. It's straight up to 10. It's so easy, man.
I mean, 6 hours.
Oh, easily. 6 hours, my ass. It takes me no time to get home at all.
I mean, are you smoking in the car? Like, what happened to 420 today?
You don't know. 420 is happening later. We're having 620 tonight.
Oh, really? Not 840?
Right before dinner in bed?
Not 840. 620, then dinner in bed. Exactly right.
Now this all makes sense, though, now. The dinner in bed part, I never thought about the fact that, of course, you're stoned out of your mind.
Yeah, that's why dinner's so comfortable in bed. And by the way, I have heard from so many bed eaters in the last few weeks.
What?
People who eat in bed. Mm-hmm. I have heard from so many bed eaters. It's like,
is this like when Kaplan says that millions of people are responding to something and it's like three?
Bed eaters are feeling persecuted by the last couple of weeks and the attacks on eating in bed.
Mace, I'm going to do
like
you
one. Bed Eaters Anonymous?
Wait, Mace, I'm going to throw you one better here. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
It's like the people who are the trackers, okay? You know how much heat I took last week because my girlfriend and I we track each other on our phones.
Well, I mean, honestly, I just give you guys no chance to survive this. I mean, the first thing she said when she came on the air was, cheater's going to cheat. What'd she say?
Something like that.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Right, yeah. Right.
She needs to keep track of you, apparently.
Well, I talked to her about that night, and I said, you know, gosh, everybody really thought, you know, you called me a cheater. And she said, what if I was talking about me? Like, she was mysterious about the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Very mysterious. But this weekend, I ran into several people who said, hey, man, I heard what you guys were talking about. Guess what? Me and my wife, we also track each other. And by the way, we think like you think. It's the ultimate form of trust. So you're taking it because you eat in the bed.
It's the opposite of the trust, though.
No. Disagree. Listen to me. Would
How
you support
is this
me?
Trust if
hey,
you
Mace.
Have to track each other?
Hey, Mace. Mace. I support you eating steaks in bed.
Okay.
Nobody else supports you other
you're
than
right,
me.
You're right.
Okay, I'm on Team Mason here.
I support tracking your spouse.
Thank you.
Put a tracking device on the car.
That's what I'm talking about.
AirTag. That's what they were getting used
AirTag.
For.
AirTag. There
Don't
you go.
Do it. Don't
there
do
you
it.
Go.
Don't do it.
All right, I'm out.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Have a great show.
I swear to God, I've lied to the audience three times about this Russell Westbrook thing. I mean, the show's been way more entertaining than
nobody wants you to get to it, by the way.
Do you think that? Because I think that this is so outrageous that I think people will be annoyed by it.
Okay, well, let's annoy everybody.
All right, let's do that next.